Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. When you hear the word melanoma, I'm pretty sure you will think of skin cancer. Well, did you know that there's a form of melanoma called ocular melanoma or eye melanoma? In this program, you'll hear about this rather rare form of eye cancer. First, I'll bring you one woman's story of her journey with ocular melanoma. And this will be followed by good, solid information about this disease. The first, the story, as I mentioned, the patient story, this comes from the New York Eye Cancer Center. It's a website called eyecancer.org, and it's titled Maureen's Journey. It was published in March of 2018. She starts out the article by saying, "In December of 1994, I went to see my optometrist, Dr. Quist, at Pildes in New York. I was going to Boston for New Year's, and my contacts were bothering me. Well, Dr. Quist, the optometrist, pointed out that I had not had a good exam in a while, and she wanted to do one. I said, sure. As she studied my left eye, she took a bit more time than she did with my right eye. Afterward, she wrote out a note, put it in a sealed envelope, and said that I should see my ophthalmologist. That was the beginning. Upon consulting my ophthalmologist, Dr. Muldoon, I discovered that the little freckle that Dr. Quist luckily saw was a possible cancerous condition which would have to be monitored. In May of 1995, now the first visit to the optometrist was in December of 94, so the following May of 1995, I went for what I thought would be another routine visit with Dr. Muldoon, her ophthalmologist. It was not routine. After the exam, he asked his receptionist to see if a Dr. Finger was in the hospital that day. He was, and I was sent down to his office at the New York Eye and Ear Infirmary. It was only when I saw the words melanoma study beside his door that I actually realized, not just cancer, but melanoma. In the blink of an eye, so to speak, my life changed. I was immediately sent for the first of ever so many fluorescein injections and pictures, ultrasounds, the works. Dr. Finger, and he is at the New York Eye and Ear Infirmary, observed the nevus until November of 1995, and then decided that treatment was needed. At the time of all this, I was a volunteer at Sloan Kettering, and I knew how helpful it was to speak to patient-to-patient volunteers. Well, there weren't any. The ailment was so rare. My medical doctor, who had practiced for years, had never heard of it and had to research it. While having experienced seeing the courage of the cancer patients that I worked with, and the research being done with all sorts of cancers, I myself was scared enough with my disease to determine that I would go with enucleation for treatment. The idea of the melanoma was very upsetting to me. Dr. Finger set me up with an appointment at Johns Hopkins Wilmer Eye Institute, where they were doing the national study on ocular melanoma. My husband and I went to Baltimore for that consultation, and I was grateful that I took the opportunity to participate in the research. The doctor did the exam, discussed his findings, and, what I remember most clearly, discussed prostheses. The reality of removing the eye, which he was recommending, was what I heard, and it was the dose of reality I needed. In New York, my husband accompanied me to my next consultation with Dr. Finger. I had not involved my husband directly up until then. Perhaps it was a way of not really acknowledging what was happening. But Dr. Finger launched into a description of palladium-103. This is the isotope he planned to use to radiate the tumor, with hopefully a good chance at not affecting the surrounding tissue. My tumor was a choroidal melanoma. I went for it. I was in the New York Eye and Ear Infirmary for 8 days, one day longer than was estimated. While I was disappointed to have to stay even one day longer, in retrospect, the nursing care was much better than handling the treatment on my own at home. From my room in the hospital, I had a view of the Empire State Building, lit up for Christmas. And I still see that building out of my office window every day with both of my eyes. I was released on December 13, 1995, which is called St. Lucy's Day, or Santa Lucia, the day celebrated as the Festival of Light. I am fortunate to have had a good recovery and to have retained my eyesight. As I say, so far so good, and still I go to each six-month follow-up visit with caution. I don't think anyone would be arrogant enough to forget the trauma. I am grateful to this day to the two patients whom Dr. Finger put me in touch with, who spoke to me before my treatment and shared their experiences. Only someone who has been there truly knows what the experience feels like. I have made two wonderful friends who took the road after I did. Meeting with the fine young doctors who are being trained through the Eye Cancer Foundation especially is truly inspiring. And I know that patients today have a wide support network with people who share so generously and bravely. So next we come to that good solid information that I promised you. This information comes from the Mayo Clinic. Its website is mayoclinic.org, and its headline, or its topic, is eye melanoma. First, an overview. Melanoma is a type of cancer that develops in the cells that produce melanin. Melanoma, cells that produce melanin. And melanin is the pigment that gives your skin its color. Your eyes also have melanin-producing cells and can develop melanoma. Eye melanoma is also called ocular melanoma. Most eye melanomas form in the part of the eye you can't see when you're looking in a mirror. This makes eye melanoma difficult to detect. In addition, eye melanoma typically doesn't cause early signs or symptoms. Treatment is available for eye melanomas. Treatment for some small eye melanomas may not interfere with your vision. However, treatment for large eye melanomas typically causes some vision loss. There's your overview. So we'll go on to symptoms next. Eye melanoma may not cause any signs or symptoms. And when they do occur, the signs and symptoms of eye melanoma can include the following six things: a growing dark spot on the iris of the eye, a sensation of flashing lights, a change in the shape of the dark circle at the center of your eye, that's the pupil. And the fourth possible symptom, poor or blurry vision in one eye, loss of peripheral vision, or the last one, the sensation of flashes and specks of dust in your vision, which are also called floaters. These are some of the symptoms. When to see a doctor? You make an appointment with your doctor if you have any of the signs or symptoms that worry you. Any sudden changes in your vision signal an emergency, so seek immediate care in those situations. Next, we question the causes of eye melanoma. It is not clear what causes eye melanoma, which is also called ocular melanoma. Doctors know that eye melanoma occurs when errors develop in the DNA of the healthy eye cells. The DNA errors tell the cells to grow and multiply out of control, so the mutated cells go on living when they would normally die. The mutated cells accumulate in the eye and form an eye melanoma. Eye melanoma most commonly develops in the cells of the uvea, which is the vascular layer of your eye, sandwiched between the retina and the sclera. So I'll repeat that one. The eye melanoma usually develops in cells of the uvea. This is the vascular layer of your eye, sandwiched between the retina, which is a thin layer of tissue that lines the back inner wall of your eyeball, and the white part of your eye, which is called the sclera. Eye melanoma can occur in the front part of the uvea, which would be in the iris or the ciliary body, or eye melanoma can be in the back part of the uvea, which is called the choroid layer. Eye melanoma can also occur on the outermost layer on the front part of the eye, which is called the conjunctiva, or can occur in the socket that surrounds the eyeball, or on the eyelid, although these types of eye melanomas are very rare. Next, we come to some risk factors. Risk factors for primary melanoma of the eye include the following five things. First of all, if you have a light eye color, people with blue eyes or green eyes have a greater risk of melanoma of the eye. Another risk factor being white. White people have a greater risk of eye melanoma than do people of other races. Another risk, as always, increasing age. The risk of eye melanoma increases with age. Another risk, certain inherited skin disorders. A condition called dysplastic nevus syndrome, which causes abnormal moles, may increase your risk of developing melanoma on your skin and in your eye. In addition, people with abnormal skin pigmentation involving the eyelids and adjacent tissues and increased pigmentation on their uvea, known as ocular melanocytosis, also have an increased risk of developing eye melanoma. And then the last risk factor would be exposure to ultraviolet light, UV light. There is some evidence that exposure to UV light, such as light from the sun or from tanning beds, may increase the risk of eye melanoma. The next section of this article from the Mayo Clinic deals with the complications of eye melanoma. These may include, there's three that they mentioned. The first one, increasing pressure within the eye, which is what you know as glaucoma. A growing eye melanoma may cause glaucoma. Signs and symptoms of glaucoma may include eye pain and redness, as well as blurry vision. Another possible complication would be vision loss. Large eye melanomas often cause vision loss in the affected eye and can cause complications such as a retinal detachment that also can cause vision loss. The small eye melanomas can cause some vision loss if they occur in critical parts of the eye. You may have difficulty seeing in the center of your vision or on the side. Very advanced eye melanomas can cause complete vision loss. Third possible complication they mention, eye melanomas can spread beyond the eye. They can spread outside of the eye and to distant areas of the body. This could include to the liver, to the lungs, and to your bones. These are possible complications of eye melanoma. So the next section of the article is about the diagnosis. To diagnose eye melanoma, your doctor may recommend, first of all, an eye exam. Your doctor will examine the outside of your eye, looking for enlarged blood vessels that can indicate a tumor inside your eye. And then with the help of instruments, your doctor will look inside your eye. One method called the ophthalmoscopy uses lenses and a bright light mounted on your doctor's forehead, a bit like a miner's lamp. Another method called slit lamp biomicroscopy uses a microscope that produces an intense beam of light to illuminate the interior of your eye. Another possible tool for diagnosis would be an eye ultrasound. An eye ultrasound uses high-frequency sound waves from a handheld wand-like apparatus called a transducer to produce images of your eye. The transducer is placed on your closed eyelid or even on the front surface of your eye. Another diagnosis tool, imaging of the blood vessels in and around the tumor. This is called an angiogram. During an angiogram of your eye, a colored dye is injected into a vein in your arm. The dye travels to the blood vessels in your eye. And then a camera with special filters to detect the dye takes flash pictures every few seconds for several minutes. Another part of the diagnosis might be removing a sample of suspicious tissue for testing. In some cases, your doctor may recommend a procedure to remove a sample of the tissue from your eye. This is called a biopsy. To remove the sample, a thin needle is inserted into your eye and is used to extract suspicious tissue. The tissue is tested in a laboratory to determine whether it contains eye melanoma cells. An eye biopsy is not usually necessary to diagnose eye melanoma. The next section is called determining whether the cancer has spread. Your doctor may also recommend additional tests and procedures to determine whether the melanoma has spread to other parts of your body. This is called metastasized, whether the melanoma has metastasized or spread. Tests may include blood tests to measure your liver function, a possible chest X-ray, a possible what they call a CAT scan, which is also called a computerized tomography scan or a CT scan. Another test might be the MRI, which is referred to as the magnetic resonance imaging test. And then there also might be an abdominal ultrasound test required to determine whether your cancer has metastasized. Treatment. Your eye melanoma treatment options will depend on the location and the size of the eye melanoma, as well as your overall health and your preferences. A small eye melanoma may not require immediate treatment. If the melanoma is small and isn't growing, you and your doctor may choose to wait and watch for signs of growth. If the melanoma grows or causes complications, you may choose to undergo treatment at that time. A first possible treatment option, surgery. Operations used to treat eye melanoma include surgery to remove the melanoma and a small area of the healthy tissue. This kind of surgery to remove the melanoma and also a band of healthy tissue that surrounds it may be an option for treating small melanomas. What procedure you will undergo depends on the size and location of your eye melanoma. For instance, surgery to remove a small melanoma affecting the iris is called iridectomy. Surgery to remove a melanoma in the choroid is called a choroidectomy. We have another possible operation. This is surgery to remove the entire eye, which is called enucleation. Enucleation is often used for large eye tumors. It may also be used if the tumor is causing eye pain. After the eye with the melanoma is removed, an implant is inserted into the same position, and the muscles controlling movement of the eye are attached to the implant, which allows the implant to move. After you've had some time to heal, an artificial eye is made. This is called a prosthesis. The front surface of your new eye will be custom painted to match your existing eye. Another possible form of treatment would be radiation therapy. Radiation therapy uses high-powered energy beams such as protons or gamma rays to kill the cancer cells. Radiation therapy is typically used for small to medium-sized eye melanomas. The radiation is usually delivered to the tumor by placing a radioactive plaque, it's spelled P-L-A-Q-U-E, a radioactive plaque on your eye, directly over the tumor in a procedure called a brachytherapy. The plaque is held in place with temporary stitches. The plaque looks similar to a bottle cap and contains several radioactive seeds. The plaque remains in place for 4 to 5 days before it's removed. This radiation can also come from a machine that directs radiation, such as proton beams, toward your eye. This is external beam radiation, or it's also called teletherapy. This type of radiation therapy is often administered over a period of several days. There's also something called the laser treatments. Treatment that uses laser to kill the melanoma cells may be an option in certain situations. One type of laser treatment called thermotherapy uses an infrared laser and is sometimes used in combination with radiation therapy. And then the opposite extreme from the warm treatment, we have cold treatments. Extreme cold, which is called cryotherapy, may be used to destroy melanoma cells in some small eye melanomas, but this treatment is not commonly used. Next, an important section we come to, coping and support. Coping with vision changes. If your cancer treatment causes total loss of vision in one eye, such as happens when an eye is removed, it is still possible to do most things you were able to do with two working eyes. But it may take a few months to adjust to your new vision. Having only one eye affects your ability to judge distance, and it may be more difficult to be aware of things around you, especially things occurring on the side that doesn't have the vision. Ask your doctor for a referral to a support group or an occupational therapist, perhaps, who can help devise strategies for coping with and adjusting to your newly altered vision. Big section next, preparing for your appointment. Start by seeing your family doctor or general practitioner if you have any signs or symptoms in your eye that worry you. If your doctor suspects you have an eye problem, you may be referred to an eye specialist, which is an ophthalmologist. If your doctor suspects you have an eye melanoma, you may be referred to an eye surgeon who specializes in treating eye melanoma. This specialist can explain your treatment and may refer you to other specialists, depending on the treatment you choose. Because these appointments can be brief, and because there's often a lot of ground to cover, it's a good idea to be well prepared. Here is some information to help you get ready and what to expect from your doctor's appointment. First of all, what you can do. Be aware of any pre-appointment restrictions. At the time you make the appointment, over the phone, the first time you talk to the office, be sure you ask if there's anything you need to do in advance, such as restrict your diet. Another thing you can do, write down any symptoms that you're experiencing, write them down, including any that may seem unrelated to the reason for which you schedule the appointment. Also write down key personal information, including any major stresses or recent life changes that may have affected you. Another thing to write down, make a list of all your medications, your vitamins, and the supplements that you're taking. Even the over-the-counter ones are important. Next, a good idea, consider taking a family member or a friend along to your appointment with you. Sometimes it can be difficult to remember all the information provided during an appointment. Someone who accompanies you may remember something that you missed or that you forgot. And of course, there are some more things you should write down, questions to ask your doctor. Your time with your doctor is limited, so preparing a list of questions can help you make the most of your time together. List your questions from the most important on top to the least important in case time runs out. For eye melanoma, some basic questions to ask your doctor would include the following. There's a long list of things. First, the basic question, the really most important one, do I have eye melanoma or ocular melanoma? Where is my eye melanoma located? What is the size of my eye melanoma? Has my eye melanoma spread beyond my eye? Will I need additional tests? What are my treatment options? Can any treatments cure my eye melanoma? What are the potential side effects of the treatments? Do I have to have treatments? How long can I take to decide on a treatment? Is there one treatment that you feel is best for me? How will treatment affect my daily life? Can I continue working? How will treatment affect my vision? And then I have these other health conditions. How can I best manage them during my treatment for eye melanoma? Should I be referred to additional specialists? What will be the cost? Will my insurance cover it? Are there brochures or other printed material that I can take with me? What websites do you recommend? What will determine whether I should plan for a follow-up visit? In addition to the questions that you've prepared to ask your doctor, don't hesitate to ask other questions that occur to you as the visit progresses. What to expect from your doctor? Your doctor is likely to ask you a number of questions. Being ready to answer them may allow time later to cover other points that you want to address. Your doctor may ask you, when did you first begin experiencing your symptoms? And another question the doctor might ask is, have your symptoms been continuous or occasional? Well, this is the end of the article from the Mayo Clinic. This is mayoclinic.org, and the information was provided by various Mayo Clinic staff members. Next, we have an article from the American Academy of Ophthalmology, and their website is www.aao.org. The article is by Dan Gudgel. It was published on May 3rd in 2018. The headline reads, Ocular Melanoma Cases Getting Nationwide Attention. News reports have been circulating about an unusual number of ocular melanoma cases centered around Huntersville, North Carolina, and Auburn, Alabama. But Dr. Marlana Orloff, a medical oncologist who has treated some of the dozens of patients, says it's not clear if there really is any connection between these cases. As you know now, ocular melanoma is a rare cancer of the eye. Between 2,000 and 2,500 Americans are diagnosed with it each year, according to the Ocular Melanoma Foundation. Four alumni of Auburn University spoke to CBS News about their experiences with ocular melanoma. All four women were diagnosed at younger ages than is usual for this kind of cancer. The Alabama Department of Health told CBS News that it's too early to draw any conclusions about whether these cases share some causes, and they pointed out that these cases don't meet the definition of a cancer cluster. CBS News reports that state health officials in North Carolina and in Alabama and a task force at Auburn University are all investigating. Ophthalmologist Dr. Michael Brennan has been involved with the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services. He researched the 18 confirmed cases there. Dr. Brennan says they haven't yet found any explanation for why this cancer seems to be occurring more than normal in that place. Dr. Richard Caraval, an oncologist at Columbia University, is doing genetic testing of tissue samples from the North Carolina patients right now. Ophthalmologists do not know what causes ocular melanoma. However, certain factors do increase the risk for ocular melanoma. And we have gone through those in the accompanying article. You might be interested to know that a Facebook group has been formed for ocular melanoma. It's called the Auburn Ocular Melanoma Page. Now, accompanying this article, we have a picture showing a close-up of an eye, a really close-up picture of an eye. It shows a pale blue iris with a very dark pupil in the middle, of course. There's a spot in the lower left-hand part of the iris. Looks to me about the size of a pencil eraser, and it's flesh-colored and has tiny, tiny little red threads going through it. The caption reads, "Iris melanoma, an unpigmented ocular melanoma lesion on the iris with visible blood vessels." This was provided by the American Academy of Ophthalmology. Well, in looking for a quote to end today's program, I found something for you to think about. Knowledge has a beginning, but no end. This was said by Gita Iyengar, who is the world's leading female yoga teacher. She's from India and specializes in yoga for women's health. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.